Welcome to the Once Upon an Island podcast. My name is Wesley, and today I'm joined by
Mary.
And I'm looking forward to talking about this one more so than 39. 39, predictable, blah. Right, I'm glad we moved on from that because we have a much more interesting season on the horizon.
Well, it should be.
Should be, absolutely. Of course, we're talking about season 40, Winners at War. We were shown a brief 2-minute preview last night of it, and we're not going to dive too deep. We're not going to dive too deep into what we expect from the season, but we do want to talk about that preview and just give some brief thoughts here. But I'm going to have a more in-depth podcast about that in the next few weeks, so look out for that. But right away, first thing we're told, all winners coming back to play competed against each other, 20 of them. What do you think, Mary?
I think it's never been done before, and it should be very interesting.
Wow, thanks, Wikipedia. What did you actually think? Like, are you excited for it? Well, I mean,
I've known about it for a while, so it wasn't a surprise, obviously.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, true. I told her months ago this is happening. But
Months and months. We've talked about it a few times since then. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it. I think it should be really interesting because it's going to be really... Strategy is going to have to be completely different, I think, for this, since everyone is a winner. So,
And you know what? In previous seasons, when there's a winner, usually they get targeted. Most egregious being in All-Stars, where there's like, okay, we got to get all winners out first, and then we'll duke it out. But, and this time, of course, nobody can aim HR because they are a winner, so they have to find another reason, like maybe how they won. But I think right at the gate, the first target is going to be Sandra.
Yeah.
Sandra's won twice, and that makes her... the only one there who has anything different about her.
She's the only one that's won twice, right?
Yes. Yeah. Until the end of this season where somebody either wins a second time or Sandra wins a third time. If Sandra wins a third time, I mean...
No, legitimately, I'm pretty sure Sandra will probably be the first one out. Like, everyone knows that she's won twice. I don't know how it would be a question.
I don't know if she's the first one out, but she's definitely, I think, high on the target list.
Her, Rob... I mean, they're all winners, but there's some that are just like more of a celebrity winner, if that makes sense.
I kind of wonder if these winners know that Rob and Sandra were just on season 39 as mentors. Like, if I were them, I wouldn't tell anybody I was a mentor on the season because these winners will, I mean, if they and they may already know, but like, that's going to make them target, like, oh, you two are so special. You got to be on your own season.
Yeah.
Yep. And be mentors. And we didn't, you know. I know it sounds jealous, but it's like, in a way it's like, oh, you know, you're the best of the winners. Well, we'll show them. But it was some funny clips in that. There was like, Rob's like, it'd be sad if I have to show my daughters have to see me voting out their mom.
Yeah. That was pretty interesting.
Pretty funny.
That could be funny.
Yeah. We'll see if that actually ends up happening. I don't see Rob voting out their mother. I mean, it would really have to be so he can win the game because, what she makes and what he makes both go to the same bank account. So
you assume you have no idea. Actually,
are you implying there's some sort of marital issues?
No, but it's 2020. It will be 2020, and yeah. I don't know if you know this, but in many marriages, they have separate bank accounts still.
Welcome to the Once Upon an Island Marriage Podcast. I'm your host.
I'm your host.
No, you're my host. Oh, man, I didn't know I was the guest.
You're the guest in that scenario.
Brother. So they're bringing back Edge of Extinction, which I think first instinct is like, why? But then I think about it, and I'm like, Edge of Extinction wasn't that great last time. Two reasons. Number one is I think it took screen time away from the people playing the game, but also... the possibility of something coming back at Final Six. But I really feel like here it actually will work. Kind of like how Redemption Island actually worked with Blood versus Water, where it didn't work in the air two seasons. Because most of us know all these winners, or at least we know a good chunk of these players already. Like, right at the gate, we don't have to be introduced to them. We know who they are. So whoever gets voted out first, we're already going to know who that is. And it's not going to be like Reem, where it takes like a few episodes where like, Reem's hilarious. It's going to be like, oh, Sandra got voted out? Well... we'll still get to see her make snarky remarks on Edge of Extinction. And we know who Sandra is. So in a way, it's like cool. Like, we will still get to see all the winners all season. Maybe someone drops out, but I don't see that. I don't think anyone here is a Wendy or a Keith. I think everyone's going to stay the whole season. But what do you think about that?
I mean, it's always possible. I haven't seen all these people play, so I can't say right off the top of my head. The ones I have seen play,
I wouldn't see them ever dropping out, no. And to be a winner, I mean, honestly, unless you're Malcolm, you're going to stick it out and work hard. So, yeah, I don't think anyone will drop out.
You said unless you're Malcolm. Malcolm? What are you talking about?
Okay, Fabio, whatever.
Fabio, oh my sorry, gosh. Not, they're not the same Fabio. Person. Malcolm is very smart and...
Please forgive me. I am so sorry. I don't know why I thought Malcolm.
To be fair, all of these winners playing on the season have already played a game where they've gone 39 days. So it's not like, oh, 39 days, I can't make it that long. Like, everyone here has already made 39 days at least one time.
A lot of these people have played at least two seasons, not just one. So, I mean...
Let me count real quick. We have one...
Maybe 50-50.
I'm counting right now. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is great for the podcast. 8. No, actually only 8 of these people, top of my head, have only played multiple seasons. Everyone else has only played one. 8 out of 20 have played multiple seasons.
Okay. But so, still, a majority of them are sure. Very... Not a majority. Sorry. Many of them are veteran survivors, you know?
Yeah. And some of them haven't played in forever. Like, Ethan Zahn has not played since season 8. Amber has not played since season 8. I think that's the furthest back anyone goes here that hasn't... Like, last time anybody's played, I think the first back is season 8, which is 2004. And that's just... Yeah, it's been 15 years, you know?
Yeah.
You're not as young as you once were. But no, I can't see anyone dropping. And then they also teased... these fire tokens, watching the preview a couple times, looks like they get it like maybe a bag of tokens. I'm not sure when or where. I'm hoping not on Edge of Extinction. I'm hoping they just hand them out at the beginning of the game. And it looks like they're going to get like some sort of vantage menus or some sort of menus maybe along the way where they can buy things with these tokens. At first I'm like, why? But then I realize if everyone knows that everyone has tokens, this could become like bargaining chips for like loyalty or alliances or whatever, you know? Could be very interesting in the dynamics of the social game. What do you think?
Yeah, I was imagining that they like won them at a reward somehow. So I don't know.
That is possible. You're right. They could start with none and then win them at rewards. Like,
but either way, like, you know, if your tribe wins reward, every player gets 5 tokens or whatever it is. It still could be. I'm assuming bargaining chips. Mm. You could trade them. Whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's another element to the game that could be really cool. So hopefully they execute that.
So properly. Sandra immediately gets, first off, she should get double the tokens. I'm just kidding. No, Sandra played on Pearl Islands, which is a piratey season. That's what first thing I thought of when I saw the tokens. I'm like, oh, it's like pirates with the gold and the treasure. And it's like, Sandra has the advantage here. She played on a pirate season.
Oh my gosh.
Sandra, hey, she can get loud too, you know, just to let you know. No, I think this is one of those things where I'm just like not sure how it's gonna go. Hopefully it's executed well, but I think if it's kind of like, here are these tokens, occasionally you're gonna have options to spend them. I think if the survivor tries to stay as hands off as possible with these tokens, like they're like, just let them spend them whenever they want or whatever. I don't know. I think the more hands off they are, the better it could be for.
Like, don't restrict trading or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Just let them do whatever they like, as long as they can't steal them from each other. Sure. I think it's the only rule. It'll add an interesting dynamic. I know whenever they do these seasons where the returnees, especially all returnees, they want to throw twists. Like when they did All Stars, it was the first time they did 3 tribes, game changers. You know, they did that the tribal with 2 tribes in it. I'm sorry, both tribes there voting at the same time. They just like throw interesting. Twist into when there's all returnees. They don't want them to just play the same old, you know, regular season. So should be fun. Should be very fun to see how this turns out. So out of all the female winners, who is the winner you're most looking forward to seeing play again?
Well, I always like Sandra. I think she's just fun to watch. Other than Sandra, the only other female winners I've personally watched are Sarah,
Sophie, Denise, Kim, Michelle.
Denise, Kim, and Michelle.
You saw Natalie play, but you never actually finished San Juan del Sur, you heathen.
I did. I do like Natalie a lot. She was the other girl I was thinking about.
Yeah, you didn't see her win though. You saw half the season. That season.
But I did like her. I think she has a fun personality. She could be, I think she's smart and people like her a lot. So I think one of the big things about this one is not to be seen as a big threat and to be likable. And I think Natalie has that going for her. Like, she's no Sandra.
I think what will be most important, I agree with you, I think what's going to be most important when going into the season, of course, these winners have to know each other. So they have outside of the game experienced each other. But sure. I think part of what's going to be considered is how did they win when they played. So, like, Michelle Fitzgerald won, but, like, Aubrey was, like, the one with taking all spotlight when they played. So, like, Michelle is kind of, like, a mystery in terms of her game. Like, even when I rewatched her season, I'm like, I get it in a way. Like, she had a good social game, but she wasn't, like, a flashy winner. When you jump over to someone like Kim, who dominated her season, dominated. It was social, but she dominated her season.
Yeah.
Kim's win was as predictable as Tommy's. Tommy's was predictable. I don't think he controlled to the same level as Kim, but man, like, Kim controlled her season. So I think that's just, like, generally known. So I'm most looking forward. I would say, I want to say Kim. I'm not sure how flashy Kim will be as a player. I think if I had to pick who I think is the most flashy of these players, probably be Sarah or Parvati, but,
Parvati is really good. Females. I just feel like people will see her as a threat early on.
Yeah, you've seen Parvati play. You just didn't see her win. You saw her play in Heroes vs. Right. Villains. Yeah. Was she, her and Russell, their little Russell Mance. It wasn't even a Russell. Parvati was just stringing him along. Anyways, so yeah, that's the females. And then the winner and the males, we have, I don't think I even mentioned all the females were. We have Amber. Danny Boatwright, Denise Stapley, Kim Spradlin, Michelle Fitzgerald, Natalie Anderson, Parvati Shallow, Sandra Diaz-Twine, Sarah Lucina, and Sophie Clark. In the males, we have Adam Klein, Bendry Bergen, Ethan Zahn, Jeremy Collins, Nick Wilson, Rob Mariano, Tony Vlachos, Tyson Apostle, Wendell Holland, and Yul Kwan. Out of all these people, the only one I don't have a good memory of watching them play was Yul, actually. Yul and Danny are the two I don't really remember. I haven't rewatched their seasons yet, but out of the males, who's the one you're most looking forward to?
So there's a lot of characters on here that I loved Ben. I was so glad that he won his season, and I just liked him a lot.
Angered everybody.
What?
He's angered everybody. Consensus is that people don't like the Ben.
People don't like Ben, but I just loved his, like, tenacity and his get up and go and his look for idols. I don't think he would make it too far because everyone knows that he is an idol hunter and that he's really good at challenges. I just like him as a person.
I do think Ben's one of those people I'm referring to when I say it's like it's how you won. I think Ben's gonna be one of those people where everyone's going to be like, okay, well, Ben won by being flashy. Now, either the winners are not going to care about that, and they're like, well, it's not even about that. Or they'll be like, well, we need to get rid of him because he's going to be, we're not going to be able to get him out.
Pre-merge, they'll get rid of him, but not right away.
I think Ben's got he's got a big target on his back. Kind of like Tony Vlachos got a big target on his back because he just plays like a madman, which is hilarious to watch, but I don't know how it's going to be this season. It's a good thing he got out second in Game Changers because maybe it'll lessen his target, but yeah. I don't know. The one I'm actually looking forward to the most seeing again for me is Ethan because I just rewatched Africa and I know it's kind of plugging it, but Ethan has a very in-depth video for me coming out here in just a couple weeks. So, I mean, probably because I just watched the most. He's the oldest winner here, but he's also the one I watched the most recently. I'm a bit disappointed there's no Richard Hatch. Though after the whole Dan thing, I kind of understand it because in All Stars, Richard Hatch, the thing with the no pants, the challenge. Anyways, so when I was really getting to that, but I kind of understand it. Tina's played a couple of times, and I feel like they had a bunch of females that haven't played again. So I kind of get why they didn't do the first two winners. But Ethan's our season three winner, the oldest winner here, and he's the one I'm most interested in seeing play. He's such a nice guy, and he's the only person I can remember who like went on Survivor was like, wow, my life has changed by this. I'm literally going to do things different when I get back. And he actually did. Like, he actually did what he said he was going to do. He started this whole organization called Grassroots Soccer, from his experience in Africa. Probably using his money from Africa. He was a professional soccer player, so I'm sure he had that as well. But, yeah, I most look forward to seeing Ethan play again. And you're looking forward to Ben. I don't think...
I'm also looking, like, as much as I don't really approve of Tyson and his play, he's always very interesting. So I will say I'm looking forward to see Tyson.
You know what?
Again.
Tyson and Sandra on Edge of Extinction... Like, without the pressures of playing the game, or
that could be really
that funny. Could be really funny if like Tyson and Sandra on Edge of Extinction. I'm not saying I don't want either of them to win. Like, there's really nobody here where I'm like, if they win, I'm like, oh great. Except for maybe
Michelle.
No, I was gonna say Amber actually. Oh, I really do. I mean, I haven't rewatched All Stars in a while, but I really do think that's personal opinion. I really think Rob's the one who did all the work there, and Amber just let him do all the work, but. That's discussion for a different time. Now, there's nobody really here. I'm like, oh, if they won, I'd be like, oh, well. Because if you win this season, you really have to, like nobody's going to come in from Edge of Extinction at 6 and get a free pass like Chris did.
Probably not.
No, I don't. All these people have seen Edge of Extinction before they went out there. Edge of Extinction aired. They saw the finale. They saw Chris come in at 6 from Edge and win. And everyone's like, we were so dumb. We had no idea that sitting on the island with the jury would pay dividends. We thought people would not like that. So because two people have to come back in from Edge. One person has to come in at the merge, and one person has to come in at 6. And I think immediately, like, if they're not going to get free passes like Rick and Chris did, I think they're going to get targeted immediately.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to come back in from Edge and fight for your life immediately. Like, you have to, like, win that first immunity, because if they do the same thing as last time where you get like half a mini idol and you can only get it, you know, like one of these winners could be like, yeah, give me half of it. And then they don't give it to them, you know? It's very possible. So we could see, like, I want to see cutthroat gameplay, but I do want to see people like Tyson, like, making snide remarks, and Sandra going, I can get loud too. Anyways, so those are things I do want to see. But I think there are some people here who could be completely under the radar. I think people like Adam and Nick are going to get looked over. Michelle, Danny, I think they're just going to, like, Denise, I think they can, like, these are the people I actually expect to make it far because they didn't win in a flashy way.
Yeah.
And they're just not, like, big, they're just not, like, big personalities, so they're not going to, like, dominate.
But at the same time, the jury is made up of all winners also, so mm-hmm. No goat will win.
In who here is a goat? They've all won.
I know, but... But have they, I don't know. I'm just saying.
You're, in this season, I guess you still can be a goat, but I'm saying, like, nobody here is, like, a goat in the sense that, like.
Somebody has to be. Somebody's going to think, you know what? Everyone's a winner. I'm just going to not do anything. I'm going to sit here and shut up, be quiet, which is not a bad strategy because you want to keep a really low profile.
That's the Dean strategy.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Somebody's going to do that and is going to get carried to the end. And won't win because they haven't done anything.
I mean, maybe Amber again? I don't know. I'm really poo-pooing on Amber's game. But I don't know. I mean, I really think this could be a strong final three. No matter who's in the final three, like, you have three winners in the final three. And all of them have won. They've all convinced the jury that they're going to win. It's just going to be, that Dean Tommy tribal was, like, strong in terms of, like, even though Tommy won 8-2, Dean put up a fight, and I expect in the final three, there's going to be three winners there putting up a fight. It's not going to be like one dude just dominated, you know? Like, I don't care if it's like Rob, Tony, and Parvati, like, or, you know, like, I don't care who it is. No matter who's there, I feel like it's going to be a strong final three. And I can't see a goat. I think everybody's going to be fighting tooth and nail the whole time. And there might be a couple people who are like, I'll stay under the radar, but if they play a good social game, stay under the radar. That's how some of these people have won. So
that's what I'm saying. Like,
it's not a good
one. If Tommy was here and was at the end next to.
If Tommy was here, I think everyone here would probably target him first because they had never seen him play before. It's probably good Tommy's not here.
Well, that style of playing where all you have to say at the end is, I had a really good social game.
It's not isn't going to fly. Everyone's going to know whether you had a good social game or not. You don't have to get the end and say, I had a good social game. Everyone's like, oh, you did? No, everyone knows. Everyone knows you have a good social game if you have a good social game. What are you saying?
I'm saying that the winner of all winners at war, mm-hmm. cannot be someone who only can say, I had a good social game. That's all they have going for them. Like Tommy. That's all I'm saying. They're going to have a resume. But at the same time, everyone with a really long, really good resume, like Rob and Sandra, should be voted out first.
I think we have to agree to disagree on this one. I think a good social game could be all you need to win this season. I mean, flashy moves are great, but I really think it's all going to be us. It's going to be a social game, but we'll see. Because it's true, all these winners probably know each other. So it's not like, how much did you get to know me on the island? Because to an extent, they all know each other.
Yeah.
We'll see. You could be right. I just, in a normal season, it's all about the social game. It is about finding idols, but at the end, when you're standing in front of the jury, you know, you can have all the flashy moves in the world, as Russell showed us, but you're not going to win if you don't have a good social game.
Oh, of course. They have to have their social game plus something.
I know.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Social game's going to win you the game, but you're right. To get to final three, you're going to have to do stuff. I mean, you know.
This is,
we're really getting in the weeds here. This is something I will get into on the next podcast, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and I just hope this Edge of Extinction. I was kind of hoping Chris Underwood would come back from Edge of Extinction season, but
why? No one likes him apparently.
Well, no one likes Ben apparently, but yeah, he's still here.
No, I think Ben was like a 50-50. You either loved him or hated him. Of course, I'm not as involved in you. I think
with Chris, I think I'm just more curious as to how he would play again, because we saw so little of him. I'm just like, he's just like a fascinating
enigma.
Yeah, enigma, basically, because I barely saw him play, I feel like. Whereas all these everyone else here I've seen play for 39 days. Whether I remember the game or not, right? I know they played for 39 days and I can watch it, but it's like when you're playing you're a football team and you're going to play a team next week, but they have a brand new quarterback and you're like, "Well, I don't know how their offense is going to run cuz they have a brand new quarterback." It's kind of like that with Chris, almost like I have such a little game tape on Chris. I don't know how he's going to play if he was to play again. You know, he can't do what he did in Edge of Extinction for 3 days over 39 days. So anyways, that's our Winners at War preview. Well, brief preview. Anything else you want to add before we leave?
No, I think it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.